tonight, Micah chapter number 6, our springboard text, Micah chapter 6, and then we'll also turn to Acts chapter 24. Micah chapter 6 and Acts chapter number 24, been dealing with this series now for several weeks. This is part number 6. I don't know how many weeks we've been dealing with it, but this is part 6. And we've got a bunch more to go. There's just so many of these in Scripture, and I believe if we just get a hold of a few of them, it's hard to catch everything that's preached, but if we do our best just to catch a few of them on some things that you must do, I believe we'd be all the better for it. I believe it'd help us a whole lot spiritually. The Bible said in Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8, Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good," speaking of the Lord. The Lord's not trying to hide from us his will. He's not trying to hide from us what he wants from us. He shows it to us. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee?" Nah, preacher, I want a God that I require everything out of, but he requires nothing out of my life. That's the wrong God tonight. Those are the gods of the world. The gods of the world are gods that you get everything from them and they want nothing out of your life. That's not the God of the Bible. "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" These three things that were mentioned in the text, doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly, they're all found throughout the course of all of these things that we've been dealing with out of the New Testament on some things that you must do. Let's go to Acts chapter 24, and this will be point one of the message, but it'll be a while before we get to point one. But just so I can go ahead and highlight the direction that we're heading, let's look at Acts chapter 24. We find that Paul is standing before Felix, and he's answering for the faith in Christ. The Bible said in Acts 24, verse 14, if you found your place, say amen. Verse 14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Verse 15, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein," watch verse 16 tonight, "and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." I'm going to preach on a subject tonight that none of us like. I'm going to preach on exercising. Can I get an amen right there? I was talking with a preacher today, and I was asking him how his service went last night. He said, "Good." He said, "What you going to preach on tonight?" I said, "I'm going to preach on a subject nobody wants to hear." He said, "You preaching on sin?" I said, "No, Barney Fife, I'm not preaching on sin." That's what Barney always thought, preachers preaching on sin, he was sleeping. I said, "No, I'm going to preach on exercise." Preach on a subject I don't like, nobody else likes. But I ain't dealing with physical exercise tonight. We're going to deal with the subject of spiritual exercise. And we're going to find there are three different times in the New Testament where you are told to exercise yourself. Here we find Paul said, "I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." The Bible says, and we'll look at here in a little bit in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that we are to exercise ourselves to godliness. The Bible talks about we're to exercise our senses with the Word of God. We'll look at all of these things tonight. The word exercise is an interesting word in your King James Bible. The word exercise is used in the Old Testament and it's used in the New Testament. It's not used in overabundance of times, but it is used enough times that you ought to look at it. And the word exercise is where we get our word for gym from, or gymnasium. Now, you realize I'm a King James man and I'm not a Greekifier. I don't know Greek, you know, and such as that. But I do look these words up time to time. And the word exercise in your King James Bible is the Greek word gymnazo. It's where we get our word for gymnasium from. And what the word exercise means in the text which we are looking at, it means or dealing with an athlete in training. an athlete that would strip everything off except just the bare essentials, just running like a loincloth, like a little pair of shorts in that day and some shoes, and he would get in a training facility in a coliseum or something like that, and he would physically exert himself because he knew he would need this training, he knew he would need this exercise for what was coming down the line. Now, by way of introduction, I got a long introduction and a short message tonight, so hang with me, but this is needed stuff, and you'll write these things down. We find there are several different types of exercising in the Scripture. We find that our Creator exercises us. There are some things that God will exercise our lives with, that God puts us in the gymnasium of this arena to exercise us, to make us more for His glory. The Creator exercises us. Go with me, hold Acts 24. We'll come back to this to get point one later on. But go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Watch how your Creator will exercise you. It's funny that we just got done singing. Brother Jack started off singing that song, His Love Lights the Way. And I was sitting over there while I was listening to that song, Brother Dwayne, and that one verse, you all sang it. It said, each trial overcome, add strength to my soul, and faithful I'll ever be. You say, who is it that allows trials to come into our life? It's your Creator. The Creator will allow troubles and trials to come into your life. For what purpose? You sang about it. It adds strength to my soul. Imagine what a weak little sissy Christian you would be if you never went through any trouble. Imagine what a weakling of a Christian you would be. Imagine what a useless soldier of Jesus Christ you would be if the Lord never allowed any trouble, any chastisement, any trials to come into your life. Well, you'd just be a sorry Christian. You wouldn't be good for nothing. But God allows trouble and allows trials, and God even chastens us when we get out of the way with troubles and trials. Why? To strengthen our soul, to exercise us. Watch what your Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible on eternal security, these verses coming up right here. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You ever had God spank your tail? You ever done something, thought something, looked at something, listened to something, went somewhere, whatever, and the Holy Ghost beat the devil out of you? Just talking with a brother this week about some of this stuff, and I told him one of the surest ways you can tell that you're saved is the stuff that we're talking about right now that is bothering you. It never used to bother you before you got saved. Some of y'all, you'd lay out at the bar, hang out with wild women, hang out with some fornicating man, listen to the worst of music on the radio. Man, you'd smoke anything, drink anything, say anything, let a big string of cuss words out and put Jesus' name in the middle of it. And now you can't even hardly say half of one of them words that you used to, and all of a sudden something goes. One of the sure signs you're a child of God is conviction happens over sin that never used to happen before. Watch what it said, verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all of God's children are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, if God never deals with your heart about any of your sin, you are not his child. This is some of the greatest verses on eternal security in the Bible. You say, I just can't stand it. Every time I do something wrong and my heart just gets smote. You're to thank God for that. That is the Holy Ghost letting you know you're God's child. I'm not a bastard. I'm a son of God. I'm not an illegitimate child. I'm God's young and birthed with a birth from above. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse number 9, furthermore, I'm getting to the exercise, and it's down here. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. Why does God chasten me? It's for your profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now here it is, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, after the beating is over with, after the tail whipping's over with, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are, look at the word God uses about chastening, exercised thereby. The Lord works us out, Brother Jeremiah, through chastening. The Lord puts us in the gym and exercises us and makes us stronger through what? Allowing trouble, allowing trials, allowing situations in our life to make us more like Jesus. You sit here tonight and say, I'll tell you what, God ain't gonna make me do nothing. I ain't gonna do what I don't wanna do. Oh yeah, Jonah? You say, what was that wail in Jonah chapter 2? What was that wail? That was Jonah's gymnasium. That was Jonah getting exercised. You say it was? Yeah. Don't you reckon he was stronger for it when he come out? Learned something about God, learned something about himself, and he took off to Nineveh. What happened? Afterward it yielded peaceable fruit. How about Job? You say, what was all that suffering? What was all that trouble? What was all that chastening? What was all that trial over there in them 42 chapters of Job? It's Job's gymnasium. You say, how did that do Job good? Well, the Bible said it yielded something afterward. Afterward, it yielded peaceable fruit. What did it do? Job got more. Job got double houses, double lands, double cattle, and got all the children back. God yielded something through that. Listen, if you won't quit through the chastening, if you won't just throw your hands up and get out and say, well, I'm done, God just ain't been fair, if you'll just take it and just serve God, down the road you'll say, you know what? That added something to my life. The Creator exercises us. So much more I could say there, but we do not have time. We find that the carnal, not just the Creator, but the carnal exercise themselves. Go to the right to 2 Peter. Very quickly, 2 Peter chapter number 2. Watch how the carnal people of this world, this was us before we got saved. This should not be us now. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13. 2 Peter 2:13, just to the right from Hebrews, you'll find James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible said, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, sporting themselves. They think it's a big joke to live like the devil. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. They can't even stop sinning. It's so much a part of their DNA and their makeup, they don't even know how to quit. They cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls and heart, watch their heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. The carnal of this world, they literally exercise themselves to do wrong. And y'all, they get stronger and stronger at it. They get good at it. I mean, I've heard some people talk filthy, and it's like, you're no rookie to talking filthy. You've exercised at that for a long time. You watch some people and the way they know how to do things and live dirty and all this stuff. I watch and listen to some of this stuff sometimes and how these criminals do things and like mastermind criminals or like these criminals that do and make drugs and all this stuff. And brother, you can't be no dummy to do some of this stuff. You have to be pretty smart to do some of this criminal activity. How did they become that smart doing evil? They exercised at it. They didn't just start out figuring out how to do that wicked stuff. They had to work at it. And they get good at it, y'all. I'm telling you, I thought to myself a whole bunch of times, if a lot of these people, like some of these telemarketer scammers, we had a dear lady here in the church, she got scammed here a while back from somebody on a phone call for $500. And I told her, I said, sister, do me a favor. If anybody ever calls you want money again, don't. Just call me first. Let me tell you who they are. They're scammers. They're not real. And they'll, you know, they prey on older folk and they'll try and catch them and say, oh, you're going to be in a lot of trouble with IRS. IRS, if you don't send us this amount of money, go buy a gift card, mail me the gift card, or give me the numbers on it. And that's what she done. And I thought, sis, don't do that. Don't do that. But these people are smart. They know how to do it. You say, how'd they get that smart? They exercised at it. They just work out with it, man. Work out to do evil. That's the way some people are. They know how to do evil real good, but how to do good real good, they don't know how to do it. They worked at it. So we see not only the Creator exercises us, the carnal exercises themselves, but then we find, this is the crux of the message tonight, dealing with exercise yourselves, we find the Christian should exercise themselves. The Christians should exercise themselves. There's three places in the New Testament where we are told as Christians to exercise ourselves. Work at this. Strive at this. Put some sweat equity into these things. And I want to show them to you. Go back to Acts 24 and we're going to look at them. You know what I find as I study and thought about this exercise ourselves, Brother Parks? I thought to myself this. That these spiritual things that the Lord wants us to exercise at, they have a lot of corollaries with physical exercise. Physical exercise, and I don't have a lot of experience in physical exercise, but, you know, I'm like that fella said, he said, man, I really appreciate work. He said, I love work. I just love work. And they said, you do? He said, yeah, I can just sit back and watch it for hours and hours. Amen. That's a government job. Amen right there. I was riding through somewhere the other day going to a meeting, and I pulled up next to a curb, and there was a government group out there doing something on the road, Brother John, and there was an older guy. You could tell he worked for the government for a long time, and he was standing there smoking a cigarette, and there was another guy about half his age, or about maybe 10, 15 years younger, and he was sitting there on the phone. He was taking pictures of himself, and then there was another boy, and you could tell he was only about 18, 19 years old and just got started, and they had him down there. He was working a saw cutting concrete on the road, and literally I said, look at there, if I ain't a government job, I ain't never seen one. Here's the old guy. He'd been here a long time smoking a cigarette. Here's the next guy. He's here taking selfies, and the other guy, they got him working the saw. Yeah, you're doing a good job. How many guys did it take to run it? I guess three, evidently. One to smoke a cigarette, one to take selfies, and one to run the saw. But some people's like that about exercise. I love exercise. I ain't going to do it, but I love to watch you do it. Get after it, amen. You know, that's how some people are about work. I ain't doing it, but I love to watch somebody else get it done. Anyways, I find that physical exercise is a lot like spiritual exercise. Listen to me. This is just introduction. Listen to me now. If you're going to be successful at physical exercise, people who exercise physically, they must have dedication. People who are serious about their exercising, if it's going to do them any good, they got to be dedicated to it. They have, Brother Heath, set aside time. I am going to fit this in my schedule. Either I'm going to do it first thing in the morning or I'm going to do it in the afternoon. But, Brother Skip, I'm going to do it. I'm dedicated to it. I know some people, brother, and I got no problem with exercising. We'll talk about that in a minute. I mean, they're dedicated to it. I mean, they're going to run or they're going to lift weights or they're going to run up whatever. I think about Brother Mikey Hyde. I just seen a picture. Man, old Brother Mikey, he's done such a good job. Down 130 pounds. And I mean, just doing it the old-fashioned way. Just eating right and sweat equity, bro. I mean, look here. I told him the other day, Brother Kent, I said, Brother Mikey, you need to recruit another church member. He said, why? I said, because you run one whole church member off. 130 pounds, you run him off. That's a whole church member. I mean, that was a whole nother seat on the pew. You need to go get another church member. I mean, and I see the pictures, man, it don't matter where he's at. I can't tell you how many times Brother Noah, Brother Mikey has told me, preacher, leave the church unlocked afterwards. If you don't mind, I'll lock up. And if it was raining outside, he'd just walk laps up in here, just walk laps. That's dedication. My girls and Miss Ava, they got on this kick here, I don't know how long ago, but every morning, about 8, 9 o'clock, every morning, they out here in this parking lot, and they walk the entire parking lot. I don't know how many miles they walk, but they've been dedicated at it. I mean, they just stay at it, and they just stay at it. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that they're dedicated to physical exercise. But y'all listen to me tonight. If we're going to see gains spiritually, we're going to have to get dedicated at this thing. I mean, we're going to have to get dedicated to the point we set aside time to read our Bible. We set aside time to pray. We set aside time to fast. We set aside time to be at the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. I mean, brother, you just ain't going to come about these the things I'm about to preach on tonight. You ain't going to get them by accident. Going to have to be some dedication. I read this quote by a man. Earlier today. It was a good quote, and I thought I'd write it down, and now I can't remember where I wrote it down at. Oh, there it is. He said this. He said this, this quote. He said, you can fall into sin, but not into righteousness. Y'all need to catch that. You can fall into sin, but not into righteousness. In other words, how do I get into sin? Just don't do nothing. Just get idle. Just sit on your sofa and eat Doritos and don't do nothing. You'll wind up in sin. How do I end up doing things right and living for God? That's going to take some activity. That's going to take some dedication. It's not easy to live for God and do it right. If it was, everybody'd be doing it. It ain't easy. It must have some dedication. I found this about people that exercise. They don't just have dedication. They have determination. You say, what do you mean determination? I mean people that get in that gym and work out and such as that, or set their mind to go walk. And I told him, Brother Keith, the other day, he said he'd been dedicating and being determined to walk. And he just walks up and down his driveway for like 2 miles. You know what that is? Boring. I mean, you can see the same blade of grass and the same ant climbing on the grass like 10 times in that walk. Like, I get some people walk and they have this big circuit and the scenery's changing. Not that. Same. You know what I found out about working out, going to the gym or whatever, lifting that weight or walking or anything like that, any kind of exercising, sometimes it gets hard. I used to do it back when I was a little bit of a younger man. From the time I was about, I guess I was from about 16, 17 years old, from then till I got in about my mid-20s or so, I went out exercising fairly regularly and fairly hard. Daddy had almost a whole gym of like free weights and all that at the house. But I got on the road in evangelism so much, just didn't have time for it anymore. I just kind of got off my routine. But I got at it pretty hard. You know what was the biggest thing about that? It's not easy. I mean, you end up sore and you hurting, and if you walk enough, you get shin splints, and every once in a while you injure yourself. But you know what? If you want it bad enough, you stay determined. You realize it's not going to be easy. I didn't get in this thing for it to be easy. You realize sometimes it's just mundane and boring. It's not exciting. A lot of times ain't nobody there to encourage you. Nobody there to say, hey, attaboy, get after it. You just got to do it because you see the benefits and the gains that it is producing. The things I'm going to preach about tonight, you're going to have some determination, sister. You're going to have some determination, brother, that I'm going to do these things and walk with God even when it gets mundane. And living for God sometimes is just mundane. It ain't exciting. It ain't shouting. It ain't a bunch of people around patting you on the back. You just got to live for God anyways. And it won't always be easy. It'll be hard. It'll be tough. But you do it anyways tonight. Somebody's going to exercise, got to have dedication. Exercise yourselves. Got to have determination. You got to have the right diet. Hey, y'all, listen to me. People who are serious about exercising, don't miss this. People who are serious about exercising, they know this. You cannot outwork a bad diet. I don't care how much dedication you got. I don't care how much determination you got. You ain't going to outwork a bad diet. If you're going to do the work, you got to have the right intake too. They are very careful about what they take in because that's going to end up causing the right outcome. The right intake means the right outcome. Listen to me, child of God. You ain't going to stumble into being the right kind of Christian while you gobble up all the trash this world feeds you. You can't just gobble up every God-forsaken thing on television. You can't just gobble up every wicked, ungodly ad on TV. You can't just gobble up every wicked, ungodly music artist out there. You can't just gobble up everything this world spoon-feeds you. You got to get to the place where you are discerning with your diet and your spiritual life and say, I'm not putting that in my heart. I'm not putting that in my eyes. I'm not putting that in my ears. All you young people in here, you want to live for God, you're going to have to be a little bit discerning about your diet. When everybody else is saying, listen to this. When everybody else is saying, look at this. When everybody else is saying, let's do this. Let's go. You're going to have to be a little more discerning and say, no, I want the intake to measure up to the outcome, and I cannot take that into my spirit. Don't take some diet. You have to be real careful what you allow yourself to take in, because it'll affect how you end up coming out at the end. So what do we need to do to exercise ourselves with? What do we need to do to exercise ourselves? That's all introduction. That won't cost you a dime tonight. That's just all introduction. So what's the three things we need to do to exercise ourselves? Three things real quick, and we're done. Look at Acts chapter 24. Back to our text, Acts chapter number 24. The first thing you'll have to exercise to have, the first thing you'll have to exercise to get, is you'll have to exercise to have a good testimony. You have to exercise. You have to work at it to have a good testimony. Y'all listen to me. This is not something God is going to do for you. Literally, we have this idea in applying it with the physical sense. We got this idea, Brother Zeke, like I'm going to show up to the gym and you're going to show up with me. Now, I'm going to show up and watch, and I want you to do all the work. I want you to do all the lifting. I want you to do all the squats. I want you to do all the bench presses. I want you to do all the curls. I want you to do all the push-ups and all the chin-ups and all the lat pull-downs. And I want you to work your legs. I want you to do all the work. And then I'm just going to watch, and I'm going to get the gains for it. No. He ain't going to do it for me. If I'm going to see some gains, I'm going to have to put some effort into it myself. Now, true. Listen to me. True. The best way to exercise is you need to have somebody there with you as an encourager. Or if you're working with heavyweights, you need to have somebody there to spot you when things get too heavy for you, somebody that can help you. I'm glad the Lord's our helper. When things get too heavy, when things get too tough, I'm glad the Lord's there to help us, and He will. But if you think the Lord's just going to expect you to stand over to the side and Him do everything for you, you've lost your mind tonight. The Lord expects us to do some exercise in this thing. What's the first thing we exercise? We exercise for a good testimony. Watch what Paul said in Acts 24:16. We started here tonight. Acts 24:16. He said, "And herein do I exercise myself." What are you exercising to do, Paul? Exercising myself. This is what I'm doing. To have always a conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. I looked that word offense up. He said, "I want a conscience that's void of offense toward God and men." What the word offense means this. It means having no strike against. In other words, I don't got no strikes on my testimony. It means this. It means not causing someone else to stumble. Y'all listen to me. Having a good testimony with the people in the church and people out in that world, it's work. It is work. It is exercise to build a good testimony. And you're commanded to have one. You're commanded to have a good testimony. I have known some Christians, and this is such a shame. I have known some Christians that go to Bible-believing Baptist churches, and you talk to somebody out in the world that works with them or is family with them and knows them, and when you tell them that you know such and such a person, and they say, and you say, "How do you know them?" And you say, "Well, we go to church together." I mean, they literally laugh at the fact that you know them as a Christian, because that's not how this person knows them. Y'all, that's a God-blessed shame tonight. We ought to have a testimony in this world. Look, they may not like you because of your stand, and they may criticize you because of living for God, and they may be able to bring up some point in your past where you messed up. None of us are perfect. We all mess up, but we all ought to strive to have a testimony that we can say, "If I've messed up, I've tried to make things right, but I've got a testimony that I'm a Christian. I live for God with my life." Amen. You realize this, that testimony, you have to build it over time. It's just like exercising. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I seen just today, maybe God had me on preaching this message and then let me see all this different stuff. But I just seen today, and I actually got a text from Brother Brian Green. And Brother Brian Green texted me today, Brother Peanut, and he said, "I done something today I never done before." And he sent me a picture from his Apple Watch, something like that. He ran 20 miles today. Done it in like 3 hours and 50 minutes. That's pretty good. 20 miles in 3 hours and 50 minutes, y'all. I think that's like a mile every 11 minutes, something like that. It's pretty good. He's training for a marathon. I think he's only, 26 miles is a marathon? He's only six short. That's pretty good. I'm going to be honest with you. If I right now went home, throwed running shorts on, I don't have any. I'd have to buy some running shorts. I got sleeping shorts. I got lay on the sofa, watch Georgia Bulldog shorts. I got no exercising shorts. I ain't been exercising. I'd have to go buy me some of them. I don't got no exercise clothes. I ain't done none of them. But I say I went and got me some Nike shorts and my Nike shirt and my Nike running shoes. I look like a runner. Not really. My bubble's kind of level in the middle. But I mean, I kind of have the appearance of a runner. But it's going to show up real quick when I get out there and I start my pace. I could make a mile. I know I could. I could probably make two. But brother, I promise you, by the time we're rounding two, Brother David, my pace going to slow way down. I'll catch up with y'all. 4 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles, count me out. Where's the turn at? Amen. Where's the ninth hole? It's time to get a Coca-Cola and a pack of nabs and go to the house. Amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me. He sent us a picture, Brother Kevin Stewart, Brian did, of when he started this 3 years ago. I didn't realize how blowed up Brian was. He blowed up like a toady frog. Now he done shrunk all down. He's one of them people that needs to recruit another church member too. He done run off one. 3 years ago, Brian Green could not have suited his running shoes up and took off and run 20 miles in 3 hours and 55 minutes. He had to build up to that. And I'm telling y'all something. All you young people in here, you ain't going to build no testimony overnight. I think some people look at other Christians and older preachers and older saints and they think, that's what I want to be. And that's a wonderful thing to have aspirations. But trust me, they didn't get there overnight and you won't either. I think some young preachers watch other preachers been in the ministry for 20 and 30 years and think, I'm going to be there tomorrow. You ain't going to be there tomorrow, fellas. It takes years of having a consistent testimony of the right attitude and the right walk and preaching and serving God. Now, I'm telling every Christian in here, a good testimony, it can take years to build and real fast to tear up. Now, I'm talking about a testimony. It looks just like working out. You want to know something about that working out? You don't just build up something. You have to maintain it. When I quit as a 20-something-year-old young man, 24, 25, somewhere along in there, when I quit drinking them, protein shakes and doing all that working out and all that, I'm the heaviest now I've ever been. I'm at 185. I'm heavy for 5'8". The doctor probably told me to lose some weight. But at that time, I was probably about 170. That's my fighting weight, praise God. And that's about where I was at, Brother Steve. And when I stopped lifting weights, I was able to consistently bench press over 225 pounds. For a 170-pound dude, that ain't bad. That's doing pretty good. That's way on my body weight. Now, some of y'all big fellas, you ought to be able to do a lot more than that. But for 170-pound dude, 225, that ain't bad. Y'all, I'm telling you, if I got under 225 right now, y'all have to pull it off my larynx. I'd crush my throat. I know I wouldn't be able to get it up now. I couldn't push that thing up now. I'd have to have some spotters, praise God. Why? I ain't maintained that. But Chad, I ain't maintained that. So what happened? I've lost it. You know where I have to start back over from to get that back? Square one. I've been pondering. This is a terrible message. Lord, why'd you make me do this? Now I'm getting honest with stuff. About 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago this coming May. May make 2 years ago, because I know the meeting I go to. Brother Carl, 2 years ago, I was preaching up in Ohio for a pastor and his son up there, and the pastor's son, he got a big gym in the bottom of his basement. I went up there and got all hot and thought, I'm going to come home and start exercising and all this stuff. And he had one of them, full workout things that you do chin-ups on it, you can do dips on it, and all kind of exercises on it. You can do all this. And he gave me a steal of a deal on it. I think I bought it from him for like $100. It's like a $300 thing that you normally get. It's real stout and all that. I bought it, put it in the back of my truck, brought it home 2 years ago from up there at that meeting. I brought it in the house, put it back together in the corner of my bedroom. Say, how many times you been on it? That's another story of another day. Zero. You say, why? I'm going to be honest with you, why? Because I've been down this road before, because I did not maintain, I know what it's going to cost me, Brother David, to start back. When I first start doing them deep in the well dips again and coming back up, brother, for the first 2 weeks after that, I'm going to hurt so bad in my triceps, in my biceps, in my pectorals. And now I'm 40. I was sore when I was 20 just getting started. Now I'm 40, I'm scared I'm going to tear something. I'm scared I'm going to come in here 1 week, I'm going to be up in a dadgum sling walking up in here, Brother Bill, and people are like, how'd you hurt yourself? I got in a fight with somebody street preaching. I was living for God, serving Jesus, and they tore me up trying to street preach. I ain't telling y'all I done it working out. I know what's going to happen. How'd you get that way, preacher? I did not maintain any exercising. Y'all listen to me. You say, well, I used to do something for God, and I used to serve the Lord, and I used to have a good time. That's great that you used to. I'm wondering, are you still maintaining it? The Bible said that you are to maintain good works. That's what Paul said. Maintain good works. Why? Keep your testimony clean. Keep your testimony pure. It is something you have to exercise at, y'all. You don't always hit the mark. You don't always hit the mark. Me and a brother in the church, I wouldn't want to embarrass him. He probably wouldn't mind if I say it. But me and a brother in church, just talking about this stuff yesterday, and you or me or no one constantly hits this dead on. We mess up in the eyes of our family. We mess up in the eyes of our friends. We let this old dirty flesh get the best of us and do something that just is out of character for the child of God we are. You say, what do? You just keep on working at it. Just because you go to the gym and you didn't get the result you wanted that one day, you don't just throw the white flag up and quit and go home. No, you keep at it and you keep at it and you keep working at it. Keep on working at the good testimony tonight. Yes, sir. Amen. We find Paul wasn't just concerned with a good testimony towards men. Did you notice that back there in our text? He said, I have always a conscience void of offense, not just toward men. It ain't just about what men think about you. He said, I want to make sure I got the right kind of testimony in front of God. You know, you can fool us. I wonder, does God know what kind of work you're really putting in? You know, you can walk in, have right clothes on, right Bible on, and walk up in there, and man, you can look like, man, that's a real Christian. They've been exercising, living for God. But the Lord really knows the real deal. You can fool us, make us, you know, think, man, that guy right there, that lady right there, man, they're real Christians. But you can't fool God about what we are. He really knows. So we see we ought to exercise ourselves. For what? For a good testimony. Then go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Not only should we exercise ourselves to have a good testimony, but 1 Timothy chapter 4 said we should exercise ourselves to godliness. Not only exercise yourself to have a good testimony, exercise yourself to godliness. Watch 1 Timothy chapter 4 and start in verse number 7. 1 Timothy 4, 7. Paul told Timothy this, 1 Timothy 4, 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 8, my life verse. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Life verse, praise God. It didn't say it didn't profit y'all. Let me just pause right there and say that. For everybody like, I don't exercise because it don't do no good. It didn't say it didn't profit, just said it profits little. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And then Paul puts this postscript on what he just said about exercising to godliness. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, this is a good thing I just said, and everybody needs to accept this and get a hold of this. What do we need to accept and get a hold of that he just said? We need to accept and get a hold of the fact that God expects us to exert some energy. God expects us to put some time and labor and attention and dedication and determination into being godly. We live in a society, in a church world, that godliness is a dirty word. Literally, we are raising a group of Christians today that if you preach on being godly, they accuse you of being a Pharisee. I'm not talking about being a Pharisee. I'm talking about being godly. The word godly has this thought behind it. The word godly just simply means trying to be like God. Yeah. Is that not what we all are supposed to be? Yeah. Brother Randy, I'm supposed to try and be like God. Right? Yeah. I want to act like Him, talk like Him, think like Him, speak like Him. I want my actions to be like Him. I'm supposed to try and reflect the attributes of my Heavenly Father. If He is your Father. Don't you act like your earthly father?
Man, I'll tell you what. The older I get, the more I hear Tony's horn coming out my mouth. The older I get, there are things that I do, ways that I do it, inflections that I say it. I ain't lived at home for 22 years. I've been away from mom and daddy for most of that time, like not just living right next door to them. I've been on the road in evangelism and then been up here. I've been away from them a lot. I don't see them as much as I'd like to for those 22 years. But there are times I'll say something to my son, especially to Cody more than the girls, and I'll say something to him and I think, dear God, that is the exact same way my daddy said it to me 30 years ago. And I hated it when he said it to me. And I know Cody's sitting there thinking, I hate it when he says that. It's your papa's fault. You're going to have a boy one day or a girl, and you're going to say it just like I said it to you. You ain't going to outrun genetics. You know why this is? I'm his boy. I got his blood. You can't help that stuff. Y'all, if you are a child of God and the blood of God has bought you and purchased you and his spirit lives inside of you, there ought to be some attributes of your heavenly father that just spontaneously come out of you. Right? And we ought to exercise ourselves to try and be more like him. Isn't that song that Brother Mark Wheeler wrote here just a while back? More like you, less like me. That is how I long to be. Brother Mark's wrote some great ones. That's a good one. And it's the truth. God, help me to be more like you, not so much like me. You know what you find out when you read 1 Timothy, the 6 chapters of 1 Timothy? It is a book of godliness. You say, what do you mean by that? The word, listen to me now, the word godliness is mentioned in your Bible 15 times total. 15 times total. The word godliness is only mentioned 15 times total. 9 of those 15 times are in 1 Timothy. One of the other times is in 2 Timothy. So 10 of the times that godliness is mentioned out of 15 times is all written to Timothy. 9 of them in 1 Timothy. The first mention of godliness in your Bible is 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now the word godly is mentioned other times, but not godliness. Watch the first time it's mentioned. Watch what he tells us that we are to exercise ourselves to when it comes to godliness. Y'all, you talking about a massive exercise? Talk about getting under some serious weight. How about the weight of godliness? Tell me that will not be a lifelong endeavor for you. Brother Carl, I know Cody's horn. And it is not in Cody's horn to act like God. It's to act like his daddy, Tony Patrick Zorn. It's to act like his great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, Adam. It's not in me to act like God. I want to act like Cody acts. So for all of us, you ladies and you men, to act like God, it's going to be a real tough exercise. It'll be the hardest exercise of your life. And if you think it's not, it's because you've not tried. If you don't think it's hard to be godly, it's because you ain't been trying. You're going to need the Lord's help to be godly. Lost people can't have godliness. They can have a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5 said they have a form of godliness. But real, true godliness, that comes from the Holy Ghost doing work in your life and you submitting yourself to this exercise. Watch what we're to be godly in. We're to be godly in our deportment. Our deportment, how we live in this society. Watch 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. This is the first time godliness is mentioned in your Bible. 1 Timothy 2:2. He's talking about praying. He said we ought to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, 1 Timothy 2:2, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's he talking about here? He's talking about kings and people that are in authority, leadership in our country. And he said, in that environment where we have people over us in government, in authority, in kings, we are to live an honest and a godly life, our deportment. Listen to me. A Christian ought not to be a bunch of lawbreakers. Now, y'all listen to me. I know what the Bible said. We ought to obey God rather than man. Now I'm all for that. When the laws of man contradict the law of God, I am to throw the law of man in the trash can and take the law of God. When the law of man told us in 2020, you can't meet in that building, you can't have but 50 people or 25 people, buzz off, Jack. I ain't listening to you. Why? I got a mandate not to forsake the assembling of myself together as a matter of some is, but exhort one another so much more to see that approach. I don't care what you say. I know what God told me to do. I know. So when it comes to things like that, I understand. But when it comes to just things, brother, thank God for law. Aren't you glad for law? Ain't it better than not having any law? Ain't it better than some of these third world countries? They ain't got no law enforcement. They ain't got nothing. And they're just left to fend for yourself. You say, oh, I'd like to just fend for myself. No, you wouldn't. If the law really just stopped, it'd be anarchy. Your family couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go anywhere. And you wouldn't like it very quick like. Thank God for law. How are we supposed to live in a society that's governed by law, providing the laws don't infringe on what God said? You're supposed to live godly towards them. Not be some lawbreaker, throwing bricks through windows and acting like a bunch of idiots. Amen. I'm as guilty as anybody. Speed limit says 55, I go 65. Police pull me over, I get mad about it. That's not very godly. I'll be honest. I'm an anti-government rebel by nature. I really have to strive at this one. I'm like... We was talking about taxes Sunday morning back there, and I was like, I'm sorry, suckers. I think you ought to keep as much, edit this, they come after me. I'm sorry, suckers. I think you ought to try and keep anything back from them you can. They sending billions of dollars to a slush fund in Ukraine, and they penny pinching on your little meager salary. Good for nothing, sorry, rotten scoundrels. Ought to drag them all out and hang them by the neck till they be dead. Amen. That's... Thus shall it be to all tyrants. Y'all, you realize that our forefathers started a revolution over like 1/10 of what's going on in our country now. We're way infringed on. You say, so what you doing? I'm going to try and live a godly life and have the right testimony even in this society. You say, well, Paul didn't have to live in a society like mine. No, it was worse. He was living under a Roman king named Caesar who killed Christians. I got to hurry. We're to be godly in our deportment. Hey, chapter 2. Watch this, chapter 2. We're to be godly in our dress. It's in the text. Y'all, I'm just preaching the Bible. Chapter 2, verse 9. We're to be godly in our dress. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. You say, does that mean we can't wear any jewelry? No, Peter clears that up over there in 1 Peter. He's talking about over excess. That's what modest is dealing with. Because over in Peter, he says, let it not be even apparel. So if it means absolutely none, then that means no apparel. That's in 1 Peter. We're supposed to wear clothes, y'all. It's where it becomes all about you, not about the Lord you're serving. Anyways, verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. I'm just curious. I'll not belabor this point. What do your clothes say about you, sister? Because clothes say something in the Bible. You know what the priest's garment said? The priest's garment said this. When they wore those garments, it literally had written on it. It had written on it, Brother Joey. It said this, holiness to the Lord. Their clothes said, I'm trying to live holy to the Lord. I wonder if your clothes say, I'm trying to live holy to the Lord, or if your clothes say, I'm a Proverbs 7 woman with the attire of a harlot. Because it says something. You do with it what you want to, but verse 10 just said, your clothes profess something about you. Did you read it? Verse 10. The clothes profess which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You determine what you think your clothes profess about you. I find it hilarious. I'm finna get wrapped up here for a minute. I find it hilarious all these preachers, Brother Tim, all of them get off on people like us for wearing suits and ties, you know, and things like that and look, you know,
look, you know, like we're supposed to look, whatever we preach in, or, you know, at House of God. And I've watched them same dudes, and they just hammer against stuff like that, and they don't like it and all that. And then I watch them same guys go hunting. Them same preachers. I'm talking about preachers. I ain't talking about lay people. I'm talking just preachers. I watch them same guys go hunting. And the guys who say, oh, you're not having no dress standard at church. Just whatever you wear out there, you ought to wear that same thing at church. Okay, well, how come it is that when you go hunting, you put on that $1,000 suit of scent lock, mossy oak, muck boots, and all this stuff? Wait. Why are you getting dressed up to go hunting? Why are you changing your apparel for your activity? Because you know the activity warrants a different dress. So you're telling me your activity of hunting warrants you putting on some clothes to distinguish yourself. But going to the house of God, that doesn't warrant you putting anything else on that's different than what you wear if you go to the beach. Well, that tells me is that person has identified their God. I'm putting on my worship clothes to go worship my God. But when I go to church, I ain't no big deal about what I put on to worship my God. I'm talking about preachers. I ain't talking about none of y'all who claim to be preachers. I'm talking about the preachers is what aggravates me. I ain't talking about none of y'all. I'm talking about the preachers is what aggravates me. Tell me I'm some sort of Pharisee because I think we ought to look like men of God when we stand in the pulpit, and yet you're going to put on a $1,000 set of duds to go hunting Bambi's daddy? You believe in a dress code, just not for worshiping God. Woo! Anyways, that one was free too. Godliness in our deportment, godliness in our dress, godliness in our doctrine. It's all in the text. It's down through 1 Timothy. Godliness in our doctrine. Watch what your Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. 1 Timothy 4:6. This is where we was just preaching at. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. What is that godliness? It's that good doctrine in verse number 6. Come down to chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. Watch chapter 6 talking about doctrine. Chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Y'all, doctrine, it means what we believe. Doctrine, what we believe about the Scripture, what we teach about the Scripture, the doctrines of our church. Listen to me. It is ungodly to have false doctrine. It is indeed godly to have correct Bible doctrine. People say things like this. Brother Donald, I get so ticked off here. People say things like this. They say, oh, doctrine don't matter. It don't. Of course it does. If doctrine don't matter, you don't believe anything. People say stupid stuff, Brother Bill Ellis, like this. Well, doctrine divides. Yes. They say it like a bad thing. That's what the Bible is. It's a sword. Of course it divides. We ought to have good doctrine. There is a reason, y'all listen to me tonight. There is a reason why Bible Missionary Baptist Church, we ain't just yoking up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and everything that comes through this area. Why? Because a bunch of them ain't got good doctrine. And as the shepherd of this church, I am bound by the duty of God to keep right doctrine in our pulpit and in our pews. It's godly. Godly in our deportment, godly in our dress, godly in our doctrine, godly in our delight. Verse 5, look at chapter 6, verse 5. This is a whole other message for a whole other time. Chapter 6, verse 5. He said, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Watch it, watch what they think. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I love verse 6. You ought to commit this one to memory. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us there be therewith content. Godly in our delight. What do you mean by that, preacher? Being content and happy with what God has blessed you with. You don't always need a new set of clothes. You don't always need the newest this or the latest that. I get so sick. I was preaching just the other night about how our flesh, I think Brother Michael made a little small reel of it, how our flesh is like a spoiled brat. Isn't it though? I mean, man, not yours, because I know y'all ain't got problems like I got. But mine. Let me just preach about Cody Zorn's flesh. Brother Luke, my flesh is like the most spoiled of spoiled little rotten brats. You ever watched a little spoiled rotten youngin'? Like mom and daddy gives them everything. Like, I mean, they got the nicest clothes and the nicest shoes and the latest, I was going to say Game Boy. I don't think there's even such a thing as Game Boy no more. They got the latest iPhone or iPad, and they got a good education. They eat good food, and anytime they want McDonald's, they get to go, and they get this and they get that. I mean, they've gotten everything. And then the one thing that they see that they want, when mom and daddy doesn't give them what they want, they just go to pieces. I mean, just flip out and go crazy. You ought to have everything you got taken from you and thrown in the trash. I like them videos online that have them crazy dads, Brother John Glenn, that when their child, you know, gets all ripped off because they don't get that one thing they want, that crazy dad, I seen one the other day, hilarious video. This crazy dad, I say he's crazy, but he's pretty sane. He took that boy's brand new PS, what are we on now? PS what? Five? I was fitting to say three. Oh, gone. Anyway, he took that boy's Brother Randall, brand new PS5, and somebody was videoing it, and he was standing over their pool holding it like this, and the boy's standing a few feet behind him. He's like, no, Dad! No, Dad! No, Dad! I mean, he's flipping out, and his dad's saying, no, I don't. And he was indicting him with something he wasn't thankful for or something stupid he was doing. I'm going to drop this in the pool. And you would think the boy's in a hostage situation trying to save somebody. No, don't do it. And Daddy finally, it tickled me to death, Daddy finally goes, splash. And this boy takes off running, dives in the pool, swimming around, picking it up, freaking out. Now, it was kind of dumb because I'm sure Dad paid for it. Should have just went and pawned the sucker. So, I mean, that was kind of dumb. But Brother Bill Tyson, I thought to myself, that's my flesh. God gives and God gives and God blesses and God gives and God blesses and God gives. And the only thing I can think is, man, I wish I had that. Boy, I wish I had that. You know what? I think I'm going to go and hawk so I can buy that. Do I really need it? No, I'm just not satisfied what God's given me. Hey, ladies, you better be careful. The devil will come along and say, you need a new husband. You better be careful, fellas. The devil will come along and say, boy, don't you wish your wife was da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know what he'll do? He's real smart. Right about that time that he starts putting that stuff in your mind, he'll get that old high school flame that you ain't seen in 20 years, and he'll throw her into your DMs on social media. Oh, yeah, it happens all the time in churches and people getting busted up, home and busted up. You better guard yourself. You better just say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me, because the fact is, no man could probably live with me. And Lord, thank you for giving me my wife, because I know for sure there ain't another woman in the world could live with Cody Zorn except Tristan. I didn't need an amen on that one, Brother Skip. That's a God's honest truth. I mean, I'm just talking about godly in our deportment, godly in our dress, godly in our doctrine, godly in our delight, godly in our detachment. Yeah. Look what he said, verse 11. I'm running to the last point. We're going to be going home. Chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, in our detachment, flee these things. Detach from it. What am I to detach and then run towards and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness? Separating from things and from people so that I can be closer to God and more like God. Yes. Y'all, we don't believe in living separate just to live separate. I believe in being separate from things so I can be closer to Him. And there are some things, if I hang on to them,
It's going to keep me from him, so I got detached from him. And there are some people, if I stay close to him, I'm going to stay far from him, so I got to get away from him. Talking about tonight, exercising ourselves to godliness, exercising ourselves with a good testimony. Look at the last one. We're done. Hebrews chapter 5. Exercising ourselves with God's word. Exercising yourself in God's word. Exercise yourself with a good testimony. Exercise yourself with godliness. Exercise yourself with God's word. This ought to be a daily exercise, y'all. Look at Hebrews 5:12. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Y'all, I'm going to say this. If you've been saved 5 years, especially if you've been in a Bible preaching church or a church like ours, you ought not still be sucking on the milk. You ought have been reading your Bible enough, studying enough, and hearing enough preaching, enough teaching in this church where you ain't just some little old baby no more. I mean, come on, man. Let's go on to perfection. Let's grow up. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That's what we're talking about, the word of righteousness, the oracles of God. Verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do we exercise our senses so that we know what is right and wrong, good and evil? You do it with the book. I have no idea what's right and wrong and what's good and evil unless I figure it out from the book. I have no idea what correct doctrine is unless I read it from the book. I have no idea how to raise my children, how to be the right husband I need to be, how to be the right preacher I need to be. I have no idea what to preach to you unless I get it from the book. Y'all, do you see what we've done tonight for the last 50 minutes? I have preached to you from the book, the book, the book, the book, the book, the book, the book. It's been nothing but book for 50 minutes. I took you from Micah to Acts to a pile of places, dropping my watch, to a pile of places over in 1 Timothy, and now we in Hebrews. It's been the book, the book, the book. Why? This is what's going to exercise our senses. So we figure out how to live, how to please God. You know what it is? You know what it is every time you pick that book up and you start reading it? This is what it is. And you get over there and you start reading that stuff, you know, in Philippians, Colossians, you're going, and then all of a sudden you hit Ezekiel and you go, chapter 1. You hit Leviticus. You hit Psalms. I mean, you just hammering that stuff. But you don't go to the gym when you was going to work out or whatever and just pick up the 5 pound weight just because you can. Bam, 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 bam. No, you want to see gains, you pick up the heavy stuff. Y'all, I'm telling you, there ain't no heavy. That's a heavy weight. You want to work out with something heavy? That book's got some heavy stuff in it. You ain't always, I feel sorry for some church members that all they do is go to churches, that all they hear Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night or Thursday night is rehashed John 3:16. You realize there's churches out there like that? That's all they ever hear. They preach the gospel to save people every service. Y'all, there's more in the Bible than the gospel. Did you hear what, y'all, did you hear everything I preached tonight? Is it all in the Bible? Was it all New Testament church age doctrine? Yes, it was. And it's all aimed at you. And I ain't covered the gospel once. I've covered stuff that you are required to do as a Christian. And God help, there are some churches, man, Brother JC, all they do is they just preach the gospel over and over their people. You know why? One, because the pastor's lazy and he don't study. And then people stay babes in Christ for all their life. Brother, there's heavy stuff in that book. Let's go on under perfection. Let's pick it up and do some exercise. You say, but it's work. That's exercise. Well, picking the Bible up and reading it every day and reading Isaiah and reading over Nahum and Habakkuk and preaching, that's hard. It's exercise. I'm telling you, you don't think it is. I'm done. You don't think it is. You don't think it is. But just like exercising in real life, you keep going and you keep exercising, you think this ain't doing no good. And all of a sudden one day you walk past the mirror and say, hey. All of a sudden you start running one day, you've been running, and you used to couldn't even hardly go 2 miles. And then all of a sudden you're going 3 and 4 miles and your heart rate's not just exploding out of your chest. And the next day you don't feel shin splints. You say, hey, this is doing some good. That's the way the Bible works. When you first got saved and started working out, you didn't know a thimbleful of book, and it was all heavy. But the longer you start staying in it and keep reading and keep studying, you start saying, hey, I remember that verse. Hey, I know what he's talking about. Hey, I got that. Hey, I remember that. Hey, I know what that's talking about now, and I didn't used to. But you got to keep exercising. Yes, Esther, help me here. We're going to give a short invitation. I wonder tonight, have you been exercising? I mean, have you been exercising with this godliness business? That's a tough exercise for me. Have you been exercising with the word? Some of y'all, that's a tough exercise. Have you ever read the book cover to cover? Make your mind up right now. You're going to exercise and get through the whole thing. What about your testimony? How's that looking? Not just what people think, what God thinks. We're to exercise ourselves. This is the gym. Let's work out. Let's all stand tonight. Father, I pray you'd bless this simple little message from the Word of God. I tried to give your people what you gave me. God, this stuff tonight, this is heavy exercise. It's not as easy to do as we think it is. It sounds easy sometimes when we start actually trying to live it and practically outwork it. It gets pretty tough. It gets pretty tough. God, help us. Help us to exercise ourselves to the things in this book. Forgive us when we come up short. Help us, God, be our helper. We need your help to be godly. We need your help to get through your word. We need your help, God, to have a good testimony. We can't do it without you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come